Luke chapter number 17. Luke 17 verse 1, we read these words. Then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible, but that offenses should come, or will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and he cast into the sea, than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day, turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive it. And the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto the sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. If what our Lord says is true, and certainly we know that it is, and it takes only faith like a mustard seed. And I'm told that a mustard seed is one of the smallest of all seeds. It would be less than half of the size of a watermelon seed. But if we had faith just as a grain of mustard seed, or just something that little, that we could say to the mountains, be thou removed hence, or we could pull up great trees by the root and cast them into the sea. If it only takes that little faith to do that much, then I ask if we don't need to stop and consider ourselves, that we need to do the same thing that the apostles did and say, Lord, increase our faith. If it only takes that little to do that much. And I don't know about you, but I can say for me, I don't have enough faith to say to this mountain, get up and move on. And it happened. I might say it, but I don't expect it to happen. Or just go out here to even one of these leaf trees, let alone a big old heavy sycamore tree, but go out here to even one of these leaf little saplings and say, come up by the roots and be cast into the sea. If it just takes a little bit of faith to do that, I think maybe I, and I'll just say me, need to say like the apostles did here, Lord, increase my faith. That's the thought for this morning. Increase our faith. I ask you, dear saint, do you seek greater faith in God? Would you seek and ask of God the same thing that these men, these disciples did here this day when they said, Lord, increase our faith? Would you desire that the master husbandman bestow upon you the same blessings that they inquired of? Would you dare ask God to increase your faith? If so, I believe God will do it. I really believe that if you ask God to increase your faith, that He'll do it. Now there's a requirement on our end that we walk obediently into His Word. But I do believe that if any man lack, he can ask God, and God will give it. And now that speaks specifically, James does, of wisdom, but I believe it be true of faith. If it is your heart's desire that you would be, that your faith would be increased, now I believe God will answer that. But I'd have you to bear in mind that the means by which God most greatly increases our faith is not pleasing to the flesh. So when you say to God, increase my faith, you be sure you mean what you're asking for. But I say to you, child of God, it should be a natural desire just as you would see a child grow, that your faith would grow in Him. Has your faith grown since you first believed? And is there evidence of it? If we possess saving faith, then we must certainly recognize from whence it came. Yea, faith is a gift that has been bestowed upon us by grace from the giver of all good gifts, and that is God alone. He is indeed the author and the finisher of our faith. And not only does God grant to us saving faith, but He also gives to us a serving faith, and that's the focus today, a serving faith, and then gives to us various means by which that faith, that sustaining or serving faith, may grow. We seek, or should certainly seek, to have our faith increased, yet we so often fail to fully utilize the means by which God has given to increase our faith. If we may use an analogy, faith is like a muscle in your body. It can be strong or it can be weak. It can be used or it can be very little used. But in order for it to grow, it must be exercised. It must be put to the test. And though I don't know as much as I should about our muscles being exercised, I must admit it's a good thing in order to grow and be strong. But in like manner, I don't know enough about my faith being exercised so that it grows and is strong. God has given us some spiritual exercises that we may do in order to increase our faith. Certain businesses have what they call team building exercises. Every once in a while, they may send their employees out to perform a group task together in order to build teamwork and camaraderie among the people. They like to call it a team building exercise. Well, God has given us some faith building exercises, some things that we may do to build up the most holy faith within us. He has given to us several avenues by which our faith may mature, it may grow, it may increase. So let's grab a hold of them and use them. Let's exercise those things that our faith may increase. You want your faith to grow? The natural instinct is to say yes. Well, then you need to follow through on what that means. I'm going to mention a few things briefly that God has given to us that we may use to increase our faith, and then we'll press forward with the bulk of the message. First of all, God's given to us this blessed Bible to increase our faith. Peter exhorts his readers to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And as we grow in grace and in knowledge, we grow in faith. The more familiar you are with this book, the more familiar you will be with God. And the more familiar you are with God, the more faith you'll have in Him. The more you see Him, the more you will adore Him. The more you adore Him, the more confidence, the more trust, yea, even the more faith that you'll have in Him. So I would encourage you to explore this book, get familiar with it, for in so doing, it will increase your faith. When you sit down and read stories like our brother did this morning, that increases our faith. When you read about somebody who seemingly is a million miles away from God, and God reaches down and saves them and turns their life around, that increases our faith. It gives us hope and confidence and assurance that God can do likewise for others. When we read the extraordinary things that God has done with ordinary people, it increases our faith. Get in this book, child of God. If you seek to have your faith increased, then bury your nose in this book. It will increase your faith. When you read about Jonah and Joseph, when you read about these great things that men have done, both in their failures and their accomplishments, it will increase your faith. So when you ask this petition of God, Lord, increase my faith, God says, I've given you this book. Get in it. It'll increase your faith. Do you want your faith increased? That will be evidenced by how much more time you'll get in this book. Reading the Bible will grow your faith. It is the food. It is the nourishment that the inner man needs to grow. And then secondly, our faith is increased by prayer. Now I will not press deeply into this morning, for we've been studying prayer in the Sunday evening services, but allow me to quickly say that we stunt our growth in faith by a failure to value the avenue of prayer. Indeed, one of the most certain ways in which we may see our faith increased is by spending more time with God in prayer. You want your faith to increase? Get along with God. I'm talking about private prayers. I'm talking about what you do alone with God. You want your faith to be increased? I'm submitting to you it's going to cost you something. And we'll get on to this a little bit more, but we've become lazy Americans that like to have everything easy. But you want to have an increase of faith, it's going to come at a loss of something else. And really it is, you're really not leaving anything behind. It's a loss of self. You want to increase your faith? Start praying for one another. And when you see God working in the lives of those around you, answering your prayers, it will increase your faith. And then we increase our faith by being in the Lord's house. A child of God can no more expect their faith to increase when they habitually miss church than you could expect a child to grow that's never fed. You seek God, you ask of God, you plead with God, increase my faith. God says, I've given you the avenue of the book, I've given you the avenue of prayer, and I've given you the avenue of the church. Those are three avenues with which we can readily go down any time we will that will increase our faith. If you seek to have a greater faith in God, get in the book, get on your knees, and get in God's house. And be regular there. It will increase your faith. Let me tell you this. When you come in and out of these doors, and you see other members of this church who are there when they don't feel like it, who are there when the world's falling apart around them, who are there when they're tired and worn out, it increases your faith. But the opposite is true as well. When we come to the house of God, we see others habitually miss, it hurts us. Now, that's always quiet in here, but now it's real quiet. You want your faith to be increased? Get in God's house and stay in God's house. When you see the trials, and you don't have to look far around here, friends, when you see the trials that others have endured, and have remained faithful to God in God's house, it will increase your faith. Seeing God work. I have no greater desire to see than to see God work in your lives. My heart's desire and prayer is to see God work in your lives. That's it. In mine and yours. And when I see you here, it increases my faith. I submit to you that without those three things, and I'm saying to you these are the basic tenets of Christian life that are absolute necessities that you must do in order to increase your faith. I believe when we ask of God to increase our faith, God will answer that, but He says, now here's some ways I've given you to do it. There is the man's responsibility at the end of it. You can't turn around and ask God to increase your faith and expect Him to answer that prayer or honor that prayer when you don't really mean it. I'm coming. I'm deep into a study in prayer, and our friends, I'm telling you, much of our prayer life is just talking in the flesh. It's really not asking God for something, because when we're really praying, we mean what we say. And when we say, Lord, increase my faith, and we say that in a right and true prayer, we really mean it, then you're going to back it up. So I ask you again, do you desire to have your faith increased? If so, you'll back it up. If you're happy right where you are, it'll be manifest. These three things I mentioned are as necessary for the spiritual life of a child of God as food, water, and shelter is to the physical body. How long are you going to live without food? How long will you live without water or shelter? Such it is at the spiritual state of man that you will not grow and survive long without these basic, what I call basic tenets that increase your faith. These things are not a duty. Do you realize that? You know, you shouldn't feel like these things are a duty. I have to sit down and read now. I have to pray now. I have to go to church now. You shouldn't feel that way. You ought to look at them as a privilege to do, an honor to do. And that doing this is going to increase my faith in Him. As long as God gives me the mind, the breath, and the avenue of this pulpit, I will press these three things upon you continually as necessary as your daily food. You need this and much other to grow your faith. One reason why you see men and women who have never really grown much in the faith and really haven't grown in faith of God is that they neglect these things. What God does is a gift that grows. You know, when God gives you faith, it is a beautiful gift. It is a gift that grows. Faith should be a growing gift. It should be something that grows. The child of God must, and I want to emphasize this word, abide in Him. Jesus said, except ye abide in me. Now how are you going to abide in Him if you don't abide in prayer, abide in Bible study, and abide in His house? You can't. The only way to abide in Him is to abide, to stay in those things that He's given. Now, I've never been one to beat people up. You know that. And I know things happen and things come up and such like. But I can tell you this. Do you want your faith increased? Jude says that we are to build up ourselves in the most holy faith. Is your faith increasing? And now I want to suggest to you that the greatest means by which our faith is increased, and I said those three things because I believe those are aimed at men, that they are things that you and I can do, that we are responsible to do, that will increase our faith. And now I want to take to aim at what I believe is God-centered, the things that God brings our way. The circumstances, the events of this life that God uses to increase our faith. There's our responsibility, the things that we can control, and then there's things that we cannot control. And that's when things, as far as I'm concerned, that's when our faith is really put to the test. That's when it really grows. That's when we really see God working in our lives. Sadly, though, it is those things that increase our faith the most, that is the very things that we seek to avoid at all costs. If I could ask you a question this morning, what would be your answer? Allow me to ask you this. If you could have 20 certain years on this earth, free from trouble, free from sickness, free from heartache, or only 1 year that would be certain to be full of trials and tribulations, which one would you choose? Suppose I asked it a little bit differently when I said it this way. If you could have 20 more certain, quiet, complacent years, or 1 year that you have unlimited opportunity to bring glory to God, which would you choose? We like to avoid trouble at all costs. I mean, that's our nature, is it not? We don't want any real problems. We don't want any real heartaches. We don't want any real trials. We want to skate through life on flowery beds of ease and then say, Lord, grow my faith. Increase my faith. That's not how it works, is it? You know, I don't know much about this. But if you look at somebody that's big and strong and big bulky muscles, that didn't happen from laying on the couch, did it? Didn't happen from sitting around taking life at ease and not having any trouble. They had to get out and work to get there. And I submit to you that in order to have increased faith, great faith in God, you're going to have to exercise that faith. And that faith is exercised through the furnace of afflictions. A tested faith is a growing faith. An untested faith is a stagnant faith. Now, which one do you want? When I asked you to begin this message, do you want to have increased faith? What did you answer? Now, do you realize what you're asking of God? It's a little bit curious, isn't it, that we would ask God to increase our faith and then cry and bellyache when trouble comes our way. Somehow, we have foolishly convinced ourselves that we bring glory and honor to God just by being. Just by being. And while that is to some extent true, though very little glory and honor, we'd be better served to be reminded that the candle shines the brightest in the darkest of nights. You know, a candle puts out just as much light in the daytime as it does in the nighttime. But what's the difference? It is in the dark hours that that light is greatly seen, isn't it? And so it is with faith. Lord, increase my faith, and God shuts the lights out. And then we grope in the darkness. Lord, I don't know what I've done to deserve this. Well, you've asked God to increase your faith. Well, let me tell you this. Having studied this and thought on this, I began to think, honestly, this is probably sad, but I'm honestly frightened to say, Lord, increase my faith too much because what it may cost. The old preacher was talking to a young preacher one time, and he said to the young preacher, he said, do you want to be greatly used by God? The young preacher said, yes, I do. The older man said, do you want God to bless your ministry blessed to the saving of souls and planting of churches and being used in a mighty way? The young man said, yes, I do. And then the old preacher said, then I feel sorry for you. Because God doesn't use anyone greatly unless He breaks them first. And I want you to think about the history of many of the great men and women of God. And you tell me one of them. You name one of them for me who did not become great except for in the furnace of affliction by the means of trials and testing. No doubt they prayed, increase my faith. I want to be used by you, God. I want to be blessed. I want to be involved in people's life and I want to make a difference. And God says, okay, I'll increase your faith, but it's going to cost you. Which would you rather have, dear saint? Bright and sunny days in which your light does not shine? Or dark days that may shine to the glory and honor of your Maker? We like the path of least resistance. We strive, we work to skip through this life without any great troubles. Yet we forget that it is in the times of troubles and trials when our faith is most fully increased. I want you to turn with me over here to 1 Peter 1 to a familiar portion of Scripture, but Peter has something to say about increasing faith and the trying of it. 1 Peter chapter number 1, we read these words. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season. There's three little words interjected right there. If need be. If need be. Ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold, that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Do you consider the trial of your faith as being more precious than gold? When God is pleased to put you in the midst of adversity, when God is pleased to put you in impossible, heart-rending, heart-breaking situations, do you consider that to be more valuable than that of gold? That's what Peter says it is. He says, if needs be, did you hear that? If the need be that your faith is increased by this manifold temptation or trial, do you consider it of great value? So often what we want to do is say, Lord, get me out of this, instead of giving me grace to bear it. Lord, I don't want this. I don't want to deal with this. I don't want to face this. Instead of saying, Lord, use this and use me for Thy honor and Thy glory. Faith must be tested to see that it is real. If this analogy says that our faith, that the trial of it, is more precious than that of gold, then let us test that faith to see that it's real. And that it's not fool's gold. Oh, it may appear to be real, but when you put the fiery trial to it, it burns away. But real faith and an increasing faith will stand the trial of fire, and that trial of fire will purify it and make it shine. Isn't that the desire for our faith? That the impurities be removed? What would you choose, O child of God? To have your faith increased or to skate through life without any troubles? Sometimes, as I think about this, I think about our own lives and the things that we've endured. Just the other day, it seemed as though Pat and I had had a series of things that frustrate. May I say it that way? And I told her, if this is what living by faith is all about, I just don't know about it. And you understand that I was being somewhat sarcastic, but at the same time, the flesh doesn't really like all that. When you read about the heroes of faith in Hebrews 11, can you tell me of one of them who is recorded as being a great hero of faith because they sat on the sunny beach side sipping Kool-Aid without a care in the world? I challenge you. Pick up this book and show me a great testimony of faith who lived a life of luxury and ease without any trouble. Do it. I'm not ashamed to ask you to try. The reason why their names are chiseled in God's Hall of Fame is that they did mighty deeds by faith, an increasing faith, a growing faith, a maturing faith. Sit down and read again Hebrews 11. Show me one of these great men and women that are mentioned here whose great feats and great acts was not done in the midst of great adversity. All of them were, every single one. Great acts of faith and growing, booming, increasing faith is not done, is not seen from beds of ease. It is in the midst of the briar patch and not the flower garden that the fragrant perfume of faith blossoms and offers a sweet scent unto God. I just pulled out a couple names, and you could pull more. But when was Rahab's faith put to the test? Was it when she sat at home with her family without a dark cloud in the sky? Without an army surrounding her? Is that when her faith was put to the test? Was it when she went down to the marketplace with a pocket full of money? No. It was when the soldiers had commanded that she deliver those Israeli spies who had come to check out the city, that her life was in danger and that of her family, that her faith was put to the test. That's when it was. When was the faith of Joseph put to test? When he sat at daddy's feet with his pretty coat of many colors on, without a care in the world? No. It's when his brother sold him into slavery. It's when he was in Potiphar's house. It's when he was cast into prison. This is when his faith was put to the test. This is when his faith increased. And friends, so it is with us. We try to avoid as much as we possibly can that very thing that God uses to more fully increase our faith. It's almost like we see a raging bull coming at us and we want to do everything in the world to dart out of its way. Naturally so. But you know, sometimes God sends that raging bull in order to increase our faith. How have we arrived at the misconstrued idea that we can have great faith in God, have increased faith in God, without ever having our feathers ruffled? It's just not so. The very thing that we seek to avoid, God most often uses to strengthen our faith. We must do those things that I mentioned earlier. Those are some things that we have control over. But then there's some other things you can't control, and God says, I'm going to take this and I'm going to work it together for your good to increase your faith. When has your faith grown the most? Was it while you sat in your favorite recliner, warm and dry? When your family gathered around you and cupboards were full? When all the month's bills were paid and you had a little bit left over? Is that when your faith grew the most? Or was it rather when things were unraveling around you and you didn't know how you were going to make it or what you were going to do? When was your faith increased? I dare say it is when life is at its end. And I mean by that when things are completely falling apart around us and you don't know what you're going to do. That's when our faith is increased. When difficulties and trials are your constant companion. When you don't know how you're going to pay your bills. When you don't know how you're going to face that upcoming appointment. When your life is in a painful spiral, then your faith is green and growing because it's being tested and increasing. We labor with all that we might to avoid trials, yet God often puts one right in front of us that we cannot avoid in order to increase our faith. And when it comes, count it as a precious thing. I know it's hard. Believe me, I know it's hard. And I don't know as much as some of you. I don't say you go out seeking troubles and trials, but realize that God, that things are not out of hand. God in His matchless wisdom has designed, yea, preordained to bring something our way because He knows that it will increase our faith. And remember, you asked for it. You did like the apostles did and said, increase my faith. You know, children, boys, I guess, they don't like baths. And not a whole lot of children I know of, they just love their vegetables and vitamins, do they? But it's good for them. So it is with troubles and trials. It's not good on the flesh, but I tell you that, it'll increase your faith. It'll help you grow and be strong. Let me close by asking a few questions. Do you have more faith than when you first believed? Has your faith grown over the years? Can you look back and say, yes, yes indeed, I don't know how, but God brought me through it. Has the times of this life when things were unraveling not brought you closer to Him? Then God has answered your prayer by increasing your faith. I look around at some of your faces and I see the high price of increased faith. And while I do not desire the great cost that has been paid by some, I do seek increased faith. What about you? Do you seek increased faith? I read this verse, 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly. This is what Paul wrote of the church at Thessalonica, that their faith grew exceedingly. What about yours? When you grow in faith, you know what happens to everybody around you? They grow in faith too. It helps them. And you can be an encouragement to those around you.